Grace and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The greatest theologian of the 20th century, Karl Barth, shared a story. It is a story of a people on a long journey. And as they went out on their journey, they found a signpost pointing them westward. The sign was there to show them the way to their destiny. But instead, they stopped. And it was there by that signpost that they created a life for themselves under the painted sign. They built a civilization that celebrated the signpost. They told stories to their children and grandchildren of how they arrived at the signpost. They created worship and rituals and songs. Books were written. And a few traveled on, following the direction of the sign. And they would come back confirming that the sign leads to a promised place. But the second and third generations built a life around the signpost. And they had forgotten the meaning of the journey. And all of their stories, all of their folklore, were stories of the past travel that led them to the sign. Not stories of arriving at or following that prophetic call to get on with the journey themselves. Today, the Lutheran Church commemorates Reformation Sunday. It is a day of commemoration of a young monk and Bible professor who spoke out against the abuses that he saw in the only church in the West, the Roman Catholic Church. Tacking up articles for debate and calling the church to talk about these abuses, it began the Reformation of the Church in the 16th century. It was a time when people feared the wrath of an angry God. But people had an opportunity to come out from under their burden of sin. All they had to do was simply buy some certificates, indulgences they were called, promises of forgiveness of sin. And the church, in debt because of all of the construction projects in Rome, were only too happy to sell such certificates for the forgiveness of sins. Martin Luther himself also had feared for his salvation, feared the weight of his own sins and what that would mean for him in heaven. He left a promising future in law school. He took on the disciplines of becoming an Augustinian monk. He continued his schooling and was ordained a priest. He earned a PhD in Bible and theology and eventually became a professor at the University of Wittenberg in Germany, an up-and-coming school. It was there that he read something from Romans, a portion of our second reading for today. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. When Luther read these words, he said, "All at once I felt that I had been born again and entered into a paradise itself through open gates. Immediately I saw the whole scriptures in a different light. I ran through the scriptures from memory and found that other terms had other meanings. For example, the work of God, that is, what God works in us, the power of God, by which he makes us powerful, the wisdom of God, by which he makes us wise, the strength of God, the salvation of God, the glory of God." What Luther experienced in these passages was nothing less than a daily renewal, a daily reformation of God at work in his life. He discovered once again and for all of the ages that Jesus frees us once and for all from the power of sin. And that even as we experience the bondage and brokenness of sinfulness, we too can experience wholeness and reconnection through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is there to help us become the person that God intended for us before we were even born. Jesus himself is the truth that will set us free. It is this core message, this gospel, that was lived in the very lifeblood of Jesus. This gospel that was articulated by Paul and the other writers in the New Testament, repeated by early church fathers and mothers. It is this message of God's grace and mercy to us as a gift that must be shared. It must be lifted up in song and prayer, sermon and confession. It must be lifted up in new and different ways. It says to us that as the world changes, we too must change to better articulate this gospel to a changing world. For if we don't, we will be left with old stories that don't connect with new generations. But if we seek our own reformation, if we seek to renew this core message of the gospel, then we will be true to our ancestors in the faith who lived and fought and died for this very gospel message. The same Karl Barth coined a phrase in Latin to talk about what it means to be a church of reformation. He said, "Ecclesia semper reformanda est." Latin for "the church is always to be reforming." This is a phrase that he lifted from the writings of Saint Augustine long before. And the story that I shared at the beginning is meant to be a warning for the church not to become too satisfied with where we are, but to press forward to where God wants us to be. For Martin Luther was not creating a church. He was creating a movement, a reforming movement within the church, Catholic, that would be semper reformanda, always reforming, for the sake of the proclamation of the gospel. Fearing change, brothers and sisters, is not a core part of our Lutheran identity. It is a daily transformation, a call to reformation, a reordering of our lives and our priorities and our commitments to Jesus, who gave his life for us and for the world. And so we are bold to risk and to serve and to help and to care and to give and to try and to struggle to do the good work of God's mission and ministry in our world. To do that work as God has called us and freed us to do. And so I invite you, be a part of this movement, Semper Reformanda. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.